Hey guys, welcome to this catch-up. It's thanks to Prezi. Prezi lets you send digital gift cards from major retailers instantly in just seconds. If you buy any gift card today at digitalgiftcards.com.au, you could win a $250 gift card. Permit number LTPM160177.
Nothing beats a summer of cricket. The tension, the drama, the buzz, and other cliches. But this summer, Triple M takes Test cricket down a new path. The path of FM radio. To say we're excited at the M's is an understatement.
There's plenty of movement from middle stuff.
Now, live from Cricket HQ with the Triple MCG. Wearing the bone, the cream, the beige, the ivory is a dip of the hat to the grace. On Triple M, this is Willow Talk.
Welcome aboard another night of Willow Talk. We're counting down to the first test. Brett Lee is back again.
Thank you for joining him. You must like this. You keep coming back every second day.
I've got my sleeping bag in the corner, pillow, blanket, all good.
Now you told us about Barnsley and you went to his gig the other night, but I've got to get you to tell this story.
Mm.
Dave Gleeson.
Legend.
This is Screaming Jets, one of the greats. Tell me about the time you brought him to, what was it, a team drinks or something, and the team didn't know he was coming.
Yeah, we just won I think it was a test match in Adelaide. He'd been at the game and I sorted him out with a couple of tickets and he wanted to catch up for a quiet beverage afterwards, and he'd been texting me saying about half an hour away, 15 minutes away, just down the road. I'll see in a couple of minutes. And meanwhile, we've been up playing the acoustic guitar and having a bit of a sing-along and just enjoying ourselves after a team win, as you always do. And I was waiting for the right time, and when I got the text 1 minute away, then I started playing a Screaming Jets song. Shivers, right? And I'm just playing it. And I'm just playing the intro over a few times. The guy's looking, go, start singing. And then all of a sudden from the background, you just hear someone punching it out. And everyone's going, far out, that sounds like, oh, it is. Gleeso, hello, mate. And he just gets coming, just nailed it. And I thought,
thank God he played.
But you know what? Like, it's funny. Like, people say, what's your best moment in sport? And of course, getting the bag grin and stuff. But to me, all my best moments have been around music. And I just love the fact that playing cricket for your country opens up so many doors. I'm so, so grateful and lucky.
That's the voice of Brett Lee. Dan Ganane here in the host chair. We've got another big show. And by the way, thank you to everyone for your messages about yesterday. Kerry O'Keefe, what a start. In fact, so good. We're going to bring him back for the final segment of this show today. So we've got that. And we're going to introduce you to one of the new voices. She's going to be an absolute star. One of the new voices of Triple M cricket. And this is Willow Talk. More after this.
Everything cricket. Triple M's Willow Talk. The station that's always positioned at silly mid-on.
And boy, was that something to behold.
Triple M.
Superb performance, that.
This is Willow Talk.
Triple M, this is Willow Talk. Just a couple of days out from the start of the Pakistan series and the start of live ball-by-ball cricket here. And the start time on Thursday, the first ball is bowled at 1 o'clock Queensland time, Gabba time. And we'll be on half an hour before that. So 12:30 Brisbane and the rest of Queensland, 1:30 New South Wales and Victoria, and in South Australia on air from 1 o'clock. So take note of those times. That's when we start with Kerry O'Keefe and co. in the chair on Thursday. Now, some news today with Brett Lee here along with Dan Ganane. Cricket Australia has announced already the dates for next year's Ashes. The Gabba goes back to the first test next year, 23rd of November. Adelaide Oval, now they were pushing hard for Australia Day, moving it back to that time slot. Well, it's going to be the 2nd of December and day night. So they got England to agree. The pink ball test will have a third run there at Adelaide Oval. The third test is in Perth, venue to be decided. I guess they're waiting to see if that Perth Stadium is going to be ready. If not, it'll be at the Wacker. That's on the 14th of December. And then Melbourne Boxing Day, Sydney New Year. So that is the Ashes schedule for next year. I'm wondering, Brett, if the Gabba is successful, I wonder, as a day-night venue, I wonder if England and Australia might move on that and make that a day-night test as well. But anyway, that's a discussion for another time. Now, Brett, another thing which has been put out in the media, and this came out last week, that Cricket Australia wants to have a Big Bash game on Christmas night and likely to be a Sydney Thunder-hosted game.
Mm.
Now, generally what happens in this situation, once this gets leaked to the media, it sort of means that they're testing the water, and all codes do this. They test the water. They see the reaction. If the reaction's not so bad, they'll do it. So I think that this is one step away from confirming that there will be Big Bash on Christmas Day. What do you think about that?
Well, firstly, it could be tough because if you lose a toss and bowl first, you got half a kilo of glazed ham in your guts. I mean, how you actually meant to run in and bowl? could be tough. Big Christmas lunch. I think it's not a bad idea. Look, it's, you know, there's a lot of hype around Christmas, you know, the Boxing Day test, everyone looks forward to that. They have to make sure, though, that they're getting that break. The players now are playing so much, and that is the one day, though, where the players at that top level can go, you know what, this is my day off. This is a day with the family. This is my time to relax. Yes, we could be playing the following day, Boxing Day, but I don't know. It's probably their call, I guess.
As professional cricketers, this is obviously the meat of your season. You're training on Christmas Day, or are you?
It's optional. And when they say it's optional training, it generally means it's you have to come, and if you don't come, you could be reprimanded, but it's optional. So everyone turns up. So,
okay, what would you rather do? If you had a choice, you can have Christmas night off or you can have New Year's Eve off, because they play Big Bash on New Year's Eve, or they certainly have in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Which one would you prefer to have off?
You'd probably prefer to have New Year's Eve off, I think.
That's what I think. Most of the players would be like that.
And keeping in mind, too, that they've actually pushed the Sydney Test back one day. And I don't know why they've pushed that back.
Well, you know what it is? They don't like playing back-to-back tests with a seven-day turnaround, if you like, from the start of the first of those tests to the second of those. The players complained. I think you're one of those players that complained.
I thought it was more time to recover from New Year's
for
Eve.
New Year's Eve. No, they don't. If one starts on a Thursday, they want to start the next one on the Friday.
No, of course, yeah. And look, that's very smart too from Cricket Australia, because the players do need that break, otherwise bowlers
sometimes.
Yeah, but
they're three-day tests these days, Binger.
It could be up with the gather.
You preening, right. You preening cricketers.
But it's a good 3 days, though.
Now, something else I wanted to ask, another left fielder. We had Mark Nicholas on another show 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he came up with an idea I hadn't heard. Actually, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, that the bat has such an advantage over the ball that bowlers, instead of having the Faf du Plessis incident a couple of weeks ago, bowlers should be allowed, the fielding team can do what they want to the ball, except for outside products. You can't bring in bottle tops or knives, but that ball, you can do what you want to it, but you can never get it changed within 80 overs. What do you think of that idea?
Tell you what, people will be getting their teeth sharpened. They'll be growing their fingernails. Can you imagine it? But, you know, it's such a grey area, because when you think about what's happened recently, and, you know, if the finger touched the mint, or the mint touched the ball, that's obviously swashing around in someone's mouth. Chewing gum, sweat, which is legal, sunscreen, which is illegal because it's a substance that you're not allowed to, you know, put on the ball. So there's such a grey area. Wassim Akram's always said that these are our tools and we should be able, you know, allowed to use them legally. So I do agree with that. I think that if you can use your finger legally, or you can use whatever other means other than the bottom of your shoe where your spikes are, or a bottle top, as you said, then why not?
Because here's the thing, as technology gets better and we get, you know, higher definition screens and more cameras at grounds, we're going to have more Faf du Plessis incidents, whether we like it or not.
Or maybe instead of changing, you know, in Test cricket, how they get, and I'm talking with, you know, tongue in cheek here, of course, but maybe at the 80th over where they change the ball, the second new ball, maybe get an old ball that is tailing in already. So once you get 80
you get
overs.
A choice.
You can go the brand new ball, or you go a ball that's reverse swinging massively and come in, try and knock over the tail. Just throwing it out there.
There we go.
A lot of batsmen will just be shaking their head now, but chin up, doesn't matter.
All right, we have to say farewell to you, and we will see you. I think you're on going to be on tomorrow. My goodness, you've been part of a few of these shows, and with good reason. But Brett Lee, we'll see you tomorrow. We're going to introduce a new member of the Triple M cricket team right after this. It's Willow Talk on Triple M.
The station that's always positioned at silly mid-on.
And boy, was that something to behold.
Triple M.
Superb performance, that.
This is Willow Talk.
Okay, then a quick roll call.
This summer,
yep.
The M's rock test cricket.
Yep.
Welcome to Triple M's.
Marvellous effort, that.
Willow Talk.
Ah, yes, just 2 days until live cricket on Triple M, and it's going to be like you've never heard before. I know we keep saying it, but listen to this lineup. You've got James Brayshaw, Michael Slater, Brett Lee, Brad Haddin, Merv Hughes, Darren Berry, and then the funny people, Lawrence Mooney, Jules Schiller. You've got Gus Warland. You've got Neralee Meadows, excellent reporter. And we're about to introduce someone who is very accomplished in this field. You might not have heard of her, but let me tell you, she is a star. She is a former player for England. She has been part of cricket commentary for years now. Isha Guha, welcome to Triple M Cricket.
Thank you so much. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. Triple M was my favourite station when I was over here playing cricket in Australia. So, awesome to be part
of
the coverage.
Is that right? Well,
it is,
you know, see, this you know how to flatter people. You're joining Triple M Cricket and you're joining sports commentary in Australia at exactly the right time, because I'll tell you something, 5 or 10 years ago, it would have been a thing that a woman was doing play-by-play.
Absolutely. It's great to see that it's happening all around the world now. You would have seen Mel Jones and Lisa Stalaka as part of the women's BBL coverage at the weekend, and they are doing such an excellent job. Mel's been involved in it for such a long time now and is really kind of paving the way. I was fortunate to be part of the Caribbean Premier League as a lead commentator 3 or 4 years ago now. And the fact that the countries around the world are opening up to the idea of women being part of the men's coverage is brilliant. And to access different kind of audiences as well. The IPL now, myself, Lisa, Mel and Anjun Chopra have been involved with that for the last couple of years. So I think not only are we seeing a change in the perception of women's sport on the field, but off the field as well. Back in England, there are so many more female presenters talking about football, talking about cricket. Yeah. And
we're getting that.
Yeah, it's great. And the important thing is that, as you rightly mentioned, it isn't a thing. You know, you're just there to do your job and people aren't sort of paying attention to the fact that you're a woman. They're just paying attention to your ideas and your thoughts on the game.
Tell me the Isha Guha story.
Oh, what do you want to know? Started playing in my back garden with my brother. Yeah, I was introduced to cricket from an early age. Came from an Indian background, so parents were always talking about it. They grew up in Calcutta, so Eden Gardens was their like coliseum of cricket. So I watched a bit of telly, bit of cricket on the telly. Darren Goff was my hero growing up. I obviously was a big fan of Sirian Botham, but I didn't get to watch him too much on the telly. And I was always really kind of fascinated by the Ashes battle and England playing Australia. And then I was fortunate to be part of that when I started playing for England as well. My favourite moment, obviously playing for England, receiving my first England shirt and walking out onto the pitch and playing my first match. But then going on this incredible journey from 2002 where we were pretty terrible. We couldn't beat Australia. We couldn't beat New Zealand. We only beat India here and there. We went from being an average side to becoming the best team in the world. And the best thing about that was that we won the World Cup down under. Australia put us under so much pressure when we first, obviously, when I got into the team, the girls would tell us stories about how the Australians would just completely take them apart. The likes of Catherine Fitzpatrick, Karen Rolton, who were players ahead of their time. And it was a constant, I guess, slapping down. As soon as they, you know, faced them on the cricket pitch, it was like they had so much authority. And so to be able to come over here and I guess, beat us, well, we didn't actually beat Australia.
So hang on.
We were just lucky enough not to play them in the final. I think that's the best way of putting it.
I think we can take that as an apology. 8 test matches for England, 83 one days, 22 T20s. And in 2008, you were named the best bowler in women's cricket worldwide. So you could play this game. Modesty doesn't work here at Triple M.
It was an incredible time to be part of. It just happened to be a time where things kind of went well for me. You know, I've never kind of...
Fast bowler?
Medium fast.
Okay.
I never really looked at myself like that. And I guess, you know, there were so many good players out there playing at that time as well. So I was almost embarrassed by that tag. For me, it was always a case of, right, I just want to be the best player I can be. And for the team to do well, England playing down under was always a massive, massive thing. Being able to kind of compete with Australia was always a big thing. And I thrived on those battles and I enjoyed it thoroughly. And when I didn't get the opportunity to play against Australia, I used to get quite upset. But I was fortunate enough to be part of a great team throughout that period. And that happily coincided with me performing, I guess, at my best as well.
You joined ITV Sport. Now, that's a big deal in 2012. So you are, I've seen your work and you are very accomplished, yet, you know, 2012, it's only 5 years. How did you get so good so quickly?
I really appreciate you saying that. But at the time, so it was 2011, it was the IPL, and 2 weeks beforehand, they didn't have a female presenter. So they actively were searching for an Asian girl that knew a little bit about cricket.
Well, that fills two quotas.
Yeah, exactly. So they came to me. I was in the right place at the right time, and they pretty much shoved me in at the deep end. I was presenting on the IPL. I was with someone who was very accomplished, Matt Smith, so that kind of helped things. But I told myself to just embrace it and enjoy every moment. And I have actually looked back at some of that coverage, and it is pretty horrendous, I have to say. Like, I was so robotic. I didn't have a clue where to look when it came to the cameras. I have no idea why they call me back again the following year. But on the back of that, I had a number of opportunities over in India, working for Sony Max, which was this kind of wraparound show for the IPL, which is basically an entertainment show. You probably talk cricket about 20-30%. The rest is Bollywood, and you have to dance on stage. And
You dance on stage?
Yeah, I did. There's some really horrible YouTube videos. Okay. Which I don't want you to
Isha, everyone, this is how you spell ISA space GUHA space dancing. What are we going to see on there?
So good. Just some really terrible dance moves. Horrendous.
Okay. No. We're about to go to a song, and we're going to come back, and we're going to inspect all this. This is one of the new voices of Triple M Cricket, Isha Guha, and you are listening to Willow Talk right here on Triple M.
Okay, then a quick roll call.
This summer, the M's Rock Test Cricket.
Yep.
Welcome to Triple M's.
Marvelous effort, that.
Willow Talk. The station that's always positioned at silly mid-on.
And boy, was that something to behold.
Triple M.
Superb performance, that.
This is Willow Talk.
Yes, indeed, it is Willow Talk. And we are introducing you to one of the new voices of Triple M Cricket, Isha Guha. And by the way, I just YouTubed you dancing. Are you kidding? It was 6 seconds.
That was enough.
They introduced you. Okay, it was an Indian show. They introduce you to, they give you the big intro, and they've got the dancers, the Bollywood-style dancers, and you come out, wave your arms for about 4 seconds and walk on stage. Please. Let's get to some substance. You know a bit about the Pakistan team. Mm. What can you tell us about what we can expect? Kerry O'Keefe, who's going to join us a bit later, yesterday, quite positive about their chances, even though they were pretty ordinary against New Zealand.
Yeah, I mean, people always look at Pakistan and they always think, what are you going to get? I guess you could probably say that a little bit about Australia at the moment, the way things have gone in recent times. But for Pakistan, recently the number one test team in the world. In England, you know, they played pretty well. They've got a number of characters in there. On their day, they can surprise people. I think they've got an X-Factor player in Yasir Shah, who I know that Shane Warne likes the look of. I think it was second fastest to 100 wickets in Test cricket. So that just tells you a little bit about the man that he is. And I think they're led by a pretty good captain as well, Misbah Ul-Haq.
He's old, but...
He is. I mean, but he still looks fit.
Yeah.
He scored that 100 at Lord's, and then he was on the outfield doing his press-ups with the rest of the team, which I thought was a nice touch. And I think he's just someone that has really galvanised the side since he's come to power and is the leader that they've all kind of been searching for. Because in the past, maybe they've had people come in just for like a few tests here and there, but he's kind of been there for a sustained period of time now. And you've got the likes of Azhar Ali, who's now opening the batting. He scored that triple century against the West Indies over in the UAE. Sahail Khan, who's also fairly old, but he's made a return to Test cricket and done extremely well. He played at Edgbaston. It was the third test in the England series, and he picks up 7 for. He's really been able to revive his Test career because of his fitness, and he's worked very hard on that and come back in, and he bowls some good lengths. He gets some good bounce off the wicket, which might stand him in good stead, certainly here in Australia. They've got a conveyor belt of fast bowlers that just keep churning them out, Pakistan. A number of left-armers. It'll be interesting to see how the crowd respond to Amir coming back into the Test arena. And they've been kind of mixing around with Rahat Ali, Wahab Riaz. A lot of the Australian fans will remember Wahab Riaz from the 2015 Cricket World Cup, where he had that incredible spell against Shane Watson. And a lot of people will remember that for sure.
So you're right, if they're on, they're going to cause some problems.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the interesting thing for me is going to be the evening session in Brisbane.
We're all waiting.
Yeah, absolutely. Not just from Pakistan's bowlers' point of view, but just to see how they play with the bat as well. Are they still going to look to be attacking? Same for Australia, I guess.
Yeah.
Are they still going to look to be attacking, or are they going to look to kind of be a bit more defensive in their play but be attacking with that?
Well, we had Nathan Lyon in last week, and he played a day-night shield game at the Gabba, and he said it wasn't as dangerous and the movement wasn't as violent as maybe we're expecting. So we're all expecting, once the sun goes down in Brisbane, the heavy air, the lights, the pink ball, that it's going to be a nightmare for batsmen. But going by what Nathan said, if that form holds up, it mightn't be so treacherous. Isha, you're uniquely placed to answer this question because of all the people on Triple M cricket, you spent a lot of time working in India. And India, really, let's be honest, is the centre of cricket now. Where is cricket going?
That's a very broad question,
but given that's where the money is, that's where the decisions are made, there is such a heavy emphasis now on T20. You look at crowds in India for Test cricket, they're not there, and they haven't been there for a long time. So where are we going? Where are we going to be in 10, 20 years?
I think that's changing slightly, and I think Virat Kohli has a lot to do with that. He's certainly someone who wants to do well on a personal note in Test cricket, but also he, again, as a leader of a Test side, wants the team to kind of become, well, not the number one Test team in the world, they are, but to be able to challenge the best sides in the world on a consistent basis and treat it seriously as well. And if he's doing that, then the rest will follow, and also the fans will follow, because they just want to watch him bat. I mean, you would have seen the double 100 the other day. It was something spectacular to watch, and everyone was talking about it.
Yeah.
And as a byproduct of that, they're going to have people at the grounds wanting to watch that. So the India-Australia series is going to be interesting, for sure. I don't like to think that Test cricket is dying. I think in England, certainly, we still sell out grounds. The Lords Test is always sold out. 2020 cricket, yes. Since it's come on the scene, it has become, I guess, for people who don't, the people who aren't the traditionalists have taken to 2020 cricket because it is fast, it's exciting, it's the shortened version of the game. And when you go to the IPL, it is something like you've never seen before. It is quite incredible. You go to the Vankhede, you go to Bangalore, and it's almost like you've got a rave in a stadium. And I think it's unbelievable how they can do that. And they don't sell drinks at the grounds. There's no alcohol whatsoever. Right? And they still manage to create this party-like atmosphere.
And it's as popular as ever?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's always been talk about whether there's been a dip after, for example, there's been a few world events before the IPL. But generally, I think it's 2 months. As soon as you land, you get off the plane, it's on. It's in all the papers, it's on all the billboards, it's on all the television channels, and you can't really get away from it. I liken it to a sitcom. You've got your heroes and your villains. You know, you've got your kind of teams that people are very loyal to as well now, because you have, for example, Bangalore, Virat Kohli, Chris Gayle, AB de Villiers, now Shane Watson.
It's a fair team.
Yeah, it's a pretty ridiculous team, and everyone wants to watch that.
Isha, they tell me you're a power hitter, a power player. Can you get them to drop the international rights? Because we can't get it on television. Because no one here wants to pay the ridiculous rates. They're making enough money. We want to see this.
Yeah, I'll do my best.
Thank you. And with that lovely lashing of sincerity, we say farewell and good luck for the summer. You're going to have a great time on Triple M Cricket. It's relaxed, it's fun, and you're going to fit right in.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks very much for having me.
What about Isha? You wouldn't believe it. You turn up to Australia at summer and she gets a cold. I mean, fair dinkum.
I know. I have to fly all the way across the world.
You are the quintessential
from
Pom.
Freezing cold England to get a cold.
It's December and you've got a cold. We have to take a break. We'll be back right after this with Kerry O'Keefe. It's Triple M Willow Talk.
The station that's always positioned at silly mid-on.
And boy, oh boy, was that something to behold.
Triple M.
Superb performance, that.
This is Willow Talk.
Okay, then a quick roll call.
This summer, yep. The M's Rock Test Cricket.
Yep.
Welcome to Triple M's.
Marvellous effort, that.
Willow Talk.
Willow Talk on Triple M as we get closer to live ball-by-ball cricket on the M's. Australia versus Pakistan. Kerry O'Keefe, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Now, we brought you in specifically because we had emails that we had from the other day that we wanted to get to, but then you started telling stories about Clive Lloyd and Viv Richards, and we didn't get to these.
Oh, sorry about that, mate. Yeah.
So here we go.
Yep.
Here is the first one. Was there, and this is from Jackie from Cleveland in Brisbane, was there a moment during your time at the ABC when it dawned on you that you'd become more than just an expert commentator?
Well, there was. I mean, I started at the ABC in 2001. Mm. I was a part-time security guard with Armaguard, working 3 days a week, and they gave me a test match. And when I'd been with Channel 9 previously, filling in a double header, if a match was on Saturday and another one on Sunday, they'd often split the teams and I got a gig off the bench.
Mm.
I tried to be this professor analysing the game, and I'd go there with wads of notes on every player, and I just bored the bejesus out of everybody. But I thought, that's my role. I've got to establish myself. When I had that one test in 2001 with the ABC, I had a few drinks the night before. A mate of mine said, just be you. Just laugh at your own jokes. Mm. Be natural. And I thought, oh, hang on. I'm 51 years of age. I've got nothing to lose. So I went there.
And why were you called up? Had you been doing ABC Shield?
No, I hadn't. Dean Jones was the guy, and he didn't want to come to Sydney for the final test. So they just rang me.
Out of the blue.
Out of the blue.
Last test of the summer.
Because the executive producer had heard me speak at a cricket lunch the previous week.
Right.
And liked the stories and liked my style and said, why don't we give him a go? And initially, there were hundreds of emails come in. This is not the way we want cricket done on the national broadcaster.
Yeah.
Where is McGilray? He'd be turning in his grave if he heard this bronchitic hyena. So I had to embark on a strategy to stay employed. The fact that it came from older listeners, all these emails, I decided to outlive them. And I did for 13 years. But I was myself, and that was the key. And with every passing year, acceptance that cricket could be fun became more of a part of ABC radio. And Jim Maxwell, who was the doyen, who came up through the Alan McGilvray era, who thought you just carry the game and nothing else. And in McGilvray's time, the ball-by-ball guy spoke for eight balls and said to the colour commentator at the end of the over, what did you think of that, Lindsay? Lindsay would say, it was a very good over, Alan, back to you. So the fact that it had changed to this interchange, each ball between the colour guy and the ball-by-ball guy, was completely different.
If he doesn't accept you, you're dead in the water.
Oh, dead. And McGilvray would have said to me, O'Keefe, stop this ridiculous laughing and just shut up. So I had no chance in a previous era, but the time was right for ABC to probably change the way they did their cricket, and I just happened to come along.
There we go. That's I didn't realise that you'd just been called off the bench out of nowhere in 2001.
After a cricket lunch, the EP had seen me and said, give him a go. I was a substitute for Dean the Legend Jones, and I thank Dino with every time I see him.
Now, this question I think is redundant now because you've kind of answered it. It's from Rachel from St Mary's in Sydney. Hi, Kerry, huge fan. Did you enjoy doing games for Nine back in the day?
Yeah, well, I did. I was always off the bench, and I had no money. They used to fly us business class, and sometimes I'd be there with the great man Richie Beno, and he'd be in 1A, and they'd put me in 1B, and, like, he'd have a quiet Chardonnay. And I'd just be guzzling the And he'd pick up his beige jacket and walk to the hire car, driven by somebody else. And I'd just fall into it in the back seat with stained shirt. And the driver would just be, oh, Richie, I'm a huge fan. He'd be talking to Richie and say, who's the drunk in the back? And it was me. But I was just grateful for the daily pay, you know. And as I said, I overplayed my hand. I tried to be, next day, I tried to be this expert on technique and everything, and it just didn't work.
If you tried to be funny, though, in that class of commentator and sort of their reputations, if you were yourself, do you think it would have worked?
No, it didn't work because I tried it a couple of times with Bill Laurie and with Richie. I got nothing. So I thought, no, I'm just happy for the daily race. People said, are you the next Richie? I said, I don't think so.
Anthony from Adelaide, from Parra Hills. Hi, Kerry. What other sports do you follow?
I follow all sports. I'm a St. George Illawarra Dragon supporter. Our best years were 56 to 66 and a little bit of 2010. But I follow golf. I play golf. I love all sport. I'm a sports nuffy. I love the big championships. I love the World Cups. Anything World Cup, I just watch forever.
And last one from Oakley in Melbourne from Aaron. How hot was the chili Harsha Bogle gave you?
Well, it was a naga chili, and I didn't know about it, but it was a little like a grain of salt. But he said, I'd like you to try this chili. And I'd say, oh, yeah. And then I was just about to try it with urgings of 1,000 people in the Noble Stand, because we were at the back of the SCG Noble Stand. Mm. But the producer put up on the screen, on the monitor, I just glanced at it, do not eat this chili. It is 1,000 times the hottest chili in the world. And I just saw that and I said, no, I'm not eating the chili. And 1,000 people started to chant, eat it, eat it. And then they started slow hand clapping. And Michael Clark was 282 not out in the middle and he looked up. I'm going as fast as I can. And 1,000 people were, eat it. He got 300. It was against India.
You didn't eat it?
I didn't eat it, mate, because it, honestly, and Harsha took a little bit of it and couldn't speak for an hour. But had I eaten it, like, great.
Where did you get it from?
Some guy in about three rows down produced it and said, get Skull to eat this chili. He won't talk for 6 hours, so he's obviously not a fan. But the producer saved me because I would have eaten it. And it is 1,000 times the hottest in the world. It would have been a problem. I'm here today because I didn't need it.
Thank you, Kerry.
Thank you.
Willow Talk on Triple M. We are back tomorrow.
Okay, then a quick roll call.
This summer, the M's Rock Test Cricket.
Yep.
Welcome to Triple M's.
Marvellous effort, that.
Willow Talk.
Guys, thanks for joining us on this catch-up. It's thanks to Prezi Digital Gift Cards. This will become your festive season lifesaver. It makes it easy to buy for everyone on your list. So with Prezi, what you do, you buy a digital gift card. Major retailers are all there. Meijer, David Jones, JB Hi-Fi and more. So with these digital gift cards, you can have them sent instantly, straight to your friend's phone, or you can have them scheduled for later on. Great idea. So when you buy any gift card today at digitalgiftcards.com.au, you might win yourself an extra gift card worth $250, 10 of those to give away. digitalgiftcards.com.au, permit number LTPM 160 1177.